You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Intelligence. It's certainly something you'd like to think you possess and something that America in 2016 really, really prizes. But exactly what is intelligence? And who decides who's intelligent and who's not? Michigan State University professor of psychology Zach Hambrick directs the Expertise Lab at MSU. He is here with us now. And Zach, as we talk about intelligence and just what that is, let's frame it first by talking about meritocracy. What is that, and do we live in one in 2016 America?
Well, a meritocracy is the idea that your accomplishments reflect your abilities and your effort, so you get what you work for, rather than birth status through no effort of our own.
And is America in 2016, is that us?
Well, I think that's a tough question. I mean, what we do know from research on intelligence and in psychology is that scores on intelligence tests, whatever they reflect, and there is a debate about that, but whatever they reflect, they correlate with and they predict success, for example, in the workplace and the classroom. Now, it's certainly not the whole story. It's one piece of the puzzle. Other factors matter too, but we have a lot of confidence that scores on intelligence tests do in fact predict important outcomes.
Well, when we say intelligence, what is that exactly?
Well, you ask 100 different psychologists what intelligence is, and you're going to get 100 somewhat different definitions, but there's some consistent themes in the way that psychologists think about intelligence. It encompasses the ability to learn from experience, the ability to solve problems, the ability to adapt to new situations, and it also comprises what we know. This is both sort of our expertise in specific domains, and it could also include sort of general knowledge of the world.
And you made a little aside as you talked about intelligence tests and the scores. Is that what we use to decide whether someone is intelligent or not? Is that the commonly accepted way of deciding whether you are and I'm not?
When we get down to measuring intelligence and to actually using intelligence to predict things like possible success in the workplace or the classroom, I mean, yes, that's what we call an operational definition. It's a measurable aspect of behavior that we say indexes or represents some construct like intelligence. And so, yes, in one sense, when we talk about intelligence, we are talking about scores on intelligence tests.
What are they missing? What do those scores miss?
They miss what we call non-ability characteristics. This includes motivation, for one. And research suggests what I think we all sort of know from everyday observation, and that is that motivation is certainly an important part of our success in the world. It also relatedly misses personality characteristics, like how conscientious we are in our work, independent of our sort of ability, misses things like how open we are to new experiences, how agreeable we are in social interactions. So this all is sort of under the umbrella of non-ability characteristics. That's, in a nutshell, what intelligence tests miss.
Writer David Friedman made an interesting case in a recent piece he wrote for The Atlantic that more and more he believes American society mistakes intelligence for human worth. What are your thoughts about that?
Unfortunately, I think there may be some truth to that. And I certainly don't think, and I think there are very few, if any, intelligence researchers who would say that your score on an intelligence test is a measure of your worth. One way to think about it is this is another thing that intelligence tests miss that certainly is important in life. Again, at the risk of belaboring the point, intelligence tests don't capture everything that matters for worldly success, however you want to define that. I mean, there's certainly more to the puzzle, but it does appear to be an important piece of the puzzle.
In that piece for The Atlantic, Friedman puts out a case that he believes people who would never, ever, ever think of degrading someone on the basis of race or physical appearance have no problem labeling and degrading others with that S word, the stupid word. Do you buy into that? And do
well,
you think that's
I think unfortunately that there's some truth to that, and that's just mean spirited. One of the things we know about scores on intelligence tests, intelligence, is that maybe to some degree, it's under our control. When we talk about knowledge mm-hmm. as being a component of intelligence, what we learn and what we choose to learn and how much we learn is to some degree perhaps a reflection of something that we can control. But then we also know from many decades of research now that differences across people, our intelligence test scores are at least partly due to genetic factors. And this is something that there's not even really any serious debate about it anymore. So it depends on who you ask, but estimates of the heritability of intelligence, which is heritability refers to the contribution of differences that's due to genetic factors, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 70%, okay?
Boy, so pick your family well.
Well, and yeah, I mean, we don't control our genetic makeup. We come into the world with it. I think part of the focus on intelligence and sort of the mean-spiritedness surrounding it is really unfortunate. Intelligence isn't a measure of a person's worth. It is a piece of information that can be used in certain situations to make predictions about how people will behave, but it's just one part of the puzzle.
Are we, as a nation, taking ourselves down a questionable moral path by making it so easy to sneer at, quote, stupid people by prizing intelligence above all else? Are there moral questions here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are, as there would be for, you know, denigrating someone based on any characteristic. You know, the question is whether we think that's right or wrong. And so, yeah, I think there is certainly a moral dimension to this. And I think that, as is often the case, when somebody maligns somebody else based on some characteristic, that reflects ignorance on the part of the person who's doing the maligning. Mm-hmm. One might be simply overestimating the importance of intelligence. Another is not realizing or appreciating the fact that our intelligence is not completely under our control. As I said before, we can do things to improve ourselves intellectually. You can read,
yes.
Right? You can listen to people with different viewpoints. You can expose yourself to different cultures so you won't turn into a bigot, right?
Right.
But then again, I mean, there are aspects of cognitive functioning, and that's essentially what we're talking about, which, of course, is rooted in brain function. We don't control. It's influenced by our genetic makeup. We know, related to this, that intelligence test scores are highly stable across the lifespan. They're not completely stable. In other words, there's some movement.
I can't study my way to a much higher IQ.
Well, that's a hotly contested question. But what we do know is a person's score in childhood on an intelligence test is going to be a pretty good indication of their score in later adulthood. There's been excellent research done at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland establishing this with very large samples of people over a 50-year, 60-year span.
A good study.
Right.
Good study.
You know, I think that making fun of someone's intelligence sort of falls into the category of making fun of people based on other characteristics that they can't control. It's mean-spirited.
Zach, how do you differentiate between intelligence and talent?
I would think of intelligence as one form of talent, so it's sort of intellectual talent, and we can think of other forms or aspects of talent like physical abilities.
What kind of questions do you tackle in your work in the expertise lab?
One of the main questions that we're interested in is why some people are able to become so much more highly skilled at things than other people. And this is in a wide range of domains, everything from sports and academics to games like chess, music. Music is something that we study in the lab. I think we've all noticed that it's rather obvious that some people are a lot better in these domains than others. And we have extreme examples of this in terms of professional athletes and professional musicians and so forth. And so what we're really focused on understanding are the origins of variation across people, individual differences in expert performance. Why is it the case that some people are so much more highly skilled than others? And we look at a wide range of factors. We look at certainly training history. No one would deny that to make it to the Olympics, let's say, you have to train. People aren't born with a sort of specialized knowledge and skills that is necessary for world-class performance. Okay, so training history is part of the puzzle. But we also look at a range of other factors. So basic abilities and capacities, sort of what you could consider different aspects of talent. We also look at developmental factors, like when a person starts in a domain. There's evidence that sort of independent of having an opportunity to gain more training, there's an advantage in some domains of starting earlier as opposed to later.
Could it inform the way we educate our kids, kind of work you're doing?
Yes. Part of it, again, is focusing on training, and we'd like to understand training conditions that lead to optimal performance. We're also interested in identifying characteristics of people like basic cognitive abilities and physical and perceptual abilities that forecast someone's success above and beyond training. The promise of this is being able to give people specific information about domains in which they might be likely to excel, and then also tailoring training regimens in light of a person's profile of abilities and other characteristics.
Interesting work. And then meantime, if America as a society could get rid of that pejorative S word, I think we'd all be better off, is what I think
right.
I hear you saying.
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, certainly we all from time to time make decisions that we call stupid,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Politicians seem especially prone to them, or maybe it's just they're in the public's eye.
It's true. We see them very vividly.
Right. But again, this sort of labeling people as opposed to their occasional decisions as stupid is harmful.
Zach Hambrick is a professor of psychology at Michigan State University. You can learn more about the work of the Expertise Lab by going to their website, scienceofexpertise.com. Zach, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.